Blackhawks hockey is going to be back on the air right here on WGN. Playoff hockey starts August 1st. That's a Saturday. And then August 3rd and 5th for the first three games. Those are guaranteed against the Edmonton Oilers in the first round of the playoffs of this abbreviated NHL season. And that is going to be on, and then it's basically every 2 days except for the last Friday and Saturday there, August 7th and 8th, if they get to a game seven. Troy Murray, who's going to be in the booth, the radio booth, as our analyst. And Troy, always a pleasure to talk to you. Welcome back to the beginning of hockey season, at the end of hockey season, I suppose. That's the way we have to look at it.
This has been crazy, though. I mean, it's just, to put it in words, I don't know what's going on. It's just been unbelievable, and happy that training camp started a couple of days ago, and keep our fingers crossed that they start those games at the beginning of August.
Yeah, let us hope, and we'll get to that in just a second. There's also an exhibition game that's going to be on Wednesday the 29th before the Saturday first best of series, and that's going to be the Blues versus the Hawks, and that's going to be that will be a well-viewed game. People are going to want to see that.
Yeah, you know what? I think people in general right now are just dying to see sports of any sort. And, for hockey to be starting up at the end of July, that's very unique, obviously, because of the situation. But Blues Blackhawks, first time in 4 months, hey, it doesn't get any better than that.
No, it does not. It does not. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening on these teams. You've got coronavirus testing every day for these guys, essentially, and then they have to await the test results, and some people are testing positive and then they're staying out. Teams are going to have runs like this, and once they get on the ice with each other and they're, you know, they're breathing on each other, it's almost impossible not to be transmissible when you're on the ice. And I don't know. I mean, will teams be able to make it through? That's, I think, the big question that the NHL has, that all of Major League Sports have.
Well, you know, the hard thing to try and figure out here is just what you're saying. You know, is this going to work? How is it going to work? Tays was talking yesterday. He says nobody kind of really knows how you're getting the virus. It could come from anywhere. So, I mean, yes, you're going to have close contact, you're going to have sweat, you're going to, you know, have players battling and right next to one another all over the ice. And, you know, we'll just see what happens. Hopefully, again, keep our fingers crossed that nothing comes up that just, you know, some kind of tragedy that comes up that just salts everything. You would expect that people are going to test positive at certain points, but once you get into this bubble, hopefully that really narrows it down and eliminates as much as possible. The one thing is we're probably not going to know what's going on. The NHL has come up with the unfit to play verbiage, yeah, which covers everything. Wait. An ankle sprain, if your head's cut off, unfit to play. So maybe that should be unable to play at that point.
Right.
But it's unfit.
No longer with us would be one way of looking at that, too.
But nobody's going to know what's going on. And, I just hope that it works. And if it does work and they hoist the Stanley Cup, some team does, hopefully it's the Blackhawks. You've got to tip your hat to all these people behind the scenes that work long hours into the night, days on end.
Oh, my God.
To get all the logistics and even the collective bargaining agreement that they agreed on and an extension to. I mean, that was tough to get done, but I think everybody kind of said, you know what, now's not the time to get nitpicky. We need to move forward. We need to try and get something, you know, concrete, and this is the best possible solution, and let's move on and let's do it now.
Right, because this virus will not last forever. Hockey, we hope, will last forever. So it's time to make sure that when we get past this, and all the sports are going through the same thing simultaneously, but when we get back to some sort of regular scheduling, hopefully for next season, we want to make sure that everything is going well, and that's part of that collective bargaining, that redo there. And it's very great that the Hawks were able to squeak in here. You know, they've had not such great seasons over the past three, and this is a good moment for a restart, a recharge. I also saw, and I think this is very good, Andrew Shaw says he intends to return to the Blackhawks in the 2021 season. And the 2021 season, we think, is going to start in December. Is that's kind of where they're heading here, Troy Murray?
Sounds like that's what they're looking at. They're talking about, you know, presenting the Stanley Cup sometime in the middle of October in that area. So, you know, a couple of months off, and then you get back into January. They're talking about a full 82-game season, condensing as much as possible and stretching out into the summer a little bit further. But I think that's the tentative plan. Nothing is
– And then getting back – and then get back on a normal schedule for 21-22.
Correct. Okay. And hopefully that's the way it goes, and you know, it's smooth, and hopefully by that time our new normal is in place, and you know, we're moving forward.
Yeah. Can I keep you here for just a second? I got to take a quick time out here for traffic and weather,
but I
wanted to ask Troy Murray about the bubble life, like, because this goes back to tournament hockey when these guys were kids. You know, that they'd be at a stadium and then they'd, you know, be shifting these games. It's kind of an interesting hockey phenomenon here that now we're going to get to see up close and personal in NHL action. And as we said, the Hawks return a week. Let's see, it'll be the 29th. So in just about 2 weeks, there will be hockey action as an exhibition game against the Blues, and then on to the playoffs starting Saturday, August 1st. First, that's 2 weeks from Saturday. But first, let's talk to Lauren Lapka about the traffic and the weather. Troy Murray is joining us. He is the voice of Chicago Blackhawks hockey right here on 720 WGN. He does the color, along with the great John Weideman, who does your play-by-play, the greatest hockey radio announcer of all times. Your partner is John Weideman. I think there's no question about that, Troy Murray. You can ask anybody and they will tell you the exact same thing. Okay, so now the Blackhawks are going to be up in Edmonton, unfortunately playing against Edmonton in the bubble city of Edmonton. And that's got its own issues. We'll get to that in a moment. But the idea that they're staying there and playing there for the entire duration here, are there advantages? Just forget about Edmonton for the moment, that being the home city for their opponent. Are there advantages or disadvantages to that?
Well, I don't know. It's a tough question. When you normally get into playoff mode, you get into a city and you're there for you know, several days. You know, the players don't go out in the playoffs anyways. I mean, they kind of bunk up into a room, and they have some games and stuff. They have their food, meal room, and all that kind of stuff. So they never leave the hotel. I'm not 100% sure how the whole thing is going to work, but that's a long time to be secluded in your room, and basically you're going from your hotel to the rink and back to the hotel. You're not allowed to leave the hotel. There's big fines. They'll be watching it, monitoring it very closely. I think it's going to be hard on the players for a long time in a hotel like that, secluded and quarantined basically. But you know, everybody kind of understands and accepts what's going on here. Everybody knows that this is something that's never happened before, and I think the players that have opted in, or, you know, there's been a few players that have opted out of the playoffs, that, you know, they know what they're getting in for. It's going to be a tough grind, and there's going to be a lot of solitude for the players, and you know, hopefully everybody comes through it okay and it works out. It's going to be tough, but you know, again, the logistics of playing several games in one day is going to be new to everybody. You're going to have early start times. You're going to have late start times. No fans in the building. It's going to be a unique experience to all these players. And, you know, it sounds like, it's not 100%, but it sounds like John and I will be broadcasting from here in Chicago, you know, a remote location. I think maybe either at the studio or at the United Center on a monitor, and that is what all the broadcasters will be doing. So it's going to be very new to us as well.
Right. That's my understanding, is that it's going to be done across all sports at this point. They're not going to have – for sports that are not going to have people in the stadium, football still hasn't made an announcement about any of that yet. But I know in baseball it's the same circumstance, and basketball, that the announcers have to be remote. That will be an interesting experience for you guys, because as stadium callers for your entire careers, and you as a player, you're able to, your eyes are able to move ahead on the ice to know where the puck is going to be going, to understand what the call is going to be, and the camera that's following this may not be in that same position your eyes would be in.
True, and I've never done it before. I'm not sure whether John has done it before, but they do it on some of the international competitions. What they broadcast, from Europe and stuff, the Olympics, I know that they've done it. Eddie Ilichuk has done it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. What I think is going to be different for me is I do like, as you say, Ro, to look at everything that's going on. I notice stuff that's going on behind the play, and I'm not watching the monitor. I'm kind of scanning everything. I'm looking at the bench if somebody's, if somebody gets hurt. I'm looking over there. I can pick up the binoculars and see if he's, his shoulder's bothering him. So there's little things that I can pick up from being in a booth that I won't be able to pick up on the monitor. We are trying to get as many looks as possible, because even though you have one camera on the puck and that's where the play is, there is other cameras that are, showing other angles, mm-hmm. and stuff, and hopefully we'll be able to find a way. The NHL is working on that and see if they can get that. So I can have some different cameras that I could look at, which will be strange for me. I might get messed up a few times. But obviously the ambiance of feeding off the crowd. I mean, we are open at the United Center to the 300 level. We've got a lot of fans up there, and that is a part of the experience for us as broadcasters, to absorb the atmosphere that's going on there. And as you mentioned, as a player, other than being a kid and going way back in the day, as a professional player, you're always playing in front of fans. So it's going to be completely different and new to the players. It'll be an adjustment for them. You won't be able to feed off the emotion of the building, and especially in the playoffs. I mean, my goodness, it's, when the Blackhawks were going through those runs and they won the cup, I mean, the United Center was just rocking right off the bat, and that's a big plus. So it's going to be a different type of motivation that the players are going to have to find within themselves to get themselves prepared to play the right way.
Do you think, Troy Murray, that the better practiced teams that do well in practice, because you know this as a professional athlete, some teams practice better than they play. So would that be in play here, because they don't have to worry about crowd noise? Edmonton doesn't even really get that much of a home ice advantage, other than knowing the boards better, for their home ice. But they have to stay in the hotel as well, and they're going through the same sort of sequester, so it's almost as though they are out of town. That lack of crowd, that's going to be a big, big deal.
It is, and again, until you experience it, and we are not going to be there to experience that. We're going to get a look at an empty building, and I'm sure the camera angles aren't going to be focusing on the stands. But at the same time, I don't know if they're thinking of piping in some, crowd noises or something like that. But it'll be really interesting to kind of feed off what's going on there, and for the players. Once you get on the ice, a lot of people, and I felt the same way, you kind of tuned out what was going on in the fans and in the buildings a lot of times. You just kind of get zoned in, and you're focusing on other things. But there's other times where you can't help but get caught up in the rush of the emotion in the building. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know if it favors young, inexperienced players or older players that, maybe the older players are used to that noise in the building. Younger players are coming in, and maybe they're playing in front of smaller crowds, and they're saying, okay, well, it's no big deal to them. So I don't know where it favors. I would think in a short series, best of five, that experience is going to come in as a big factor. And, when you look at the Blackhawks and the pedigree that they have inside that locker room, cross our fingers that Corey Crawford is fit by the time the game starts. Anything can happen. Best of five, it's a quick series. It could be over in 4 days, basically, and you move on to the next series, or
right,
you go home.
And you're right, and you're just sitting there waiting for your next opponent. Okay, I'm going to ask you a very sensitive hockey question here, because you played in the NHL. They're on the ice, there are moments where players, when they get around the net or they get around each other, they're in a face-off, they're in a scrum, they're trying to
It's going to be interesting how they pick up the ice effects.
Mm-hmm. There are there are times.
That's where you're going.
Yes, there are times. We have been very, very blessed here at WGN to and this particular team has been able to sit on the ice a number of times, and the stuff you hear down there is very different than what the crowd is hearing a couple rows in because it's loud. But it won't be loud. And hockey players, I think, are as good as any other athlete at jawing at each other. Basketball players are great at it. Football players are great at it. But because they're in physical contact with each other. And that's the thing. But hockey players, man, and there are some creative ways that they can say things to each other. I think you know this to be true. That movie Slapshot is not completely inaccurate when it comes to that. You wonder, what are they going to be told not to say anything because they'll be picked up on microphones, theoretically?
Another good question. I think that they will be told, you know, be careful what you're saying. You know, the ice effects mics that they have are great, but it does drown out a lot of the what is being said
yes.
on the ice. You're not going to get that background noise. So,
yes.
yeah, players are going to do it. And
yeah.
I think that happens in all sports.
Mm-hmm.
There's trash talking.
Oh, sure.
And you want to get under, you know, I mean,
yeah.
if you can get an advantage by trying to get under your opponent's skill, mm-hmm. Dave Bowen, Andrew Shaw, these guys are great at it.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to be a little bit careful in what you say. Hopefully there's a little bit of a delay in the broadcast. So might be able to pick some of those and beep
yeah.
it out.
Yeah.
Or John might be saying, you know, I'm sorry if you heard that, but it will be interesting. And again, it's something that none of these players have gone through, and it's going to be a learning curve. And I think as you kind of move forward with some of the games, you might get a better idea of when and what you can say and make sure you stay out of trouble.
I do. I like players have a tendency to admit to relationships with other players' wives and or mothers, and that's very interesting. I find that to be, and all of a sudden it's like a reality show on the ice. All right, well, it all starts coming up in about just over a week and a half. It's going to start with the Hawks taking on the St. Louis Blues in an exhibition game, and then the first 3rd and 5th of August, 3 guaranteed games that the Hawks are going to play up in Edmonton against Edmonton for the first. This is the first round of the new abridged hockey playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs that are going to be taking place. And I'm with you. I hope that the pedigree. You said the right, exact right word, Troy Murray. The pedigree of that locker room and the every team's going to have the same problem because they haven't been on the ice together in a long time.
Yeah,
so.
They're going to deal with the same things. And again, I mean, I think it's going to come down to, you know, the individuals, how much they worked out, how much, because you're going to go into a really high level of pace. This isn't the beginning of the regular season after playing exhibition games. You're going to play one game the first time in 5 months and then get right into games that matter. And you have to be prepared. And I think that experience is going to play a big factor in it. I think that you can ride a hot goaltender, especially early on in the playoffs, the way that this is working out here. If a goaltender is not sharp, you're going to be in trouble. If your goaltender is the best one in the,
yeah, look
in
out.
The series, the matchup, then
yeah.
you know what, you're moving on. So I give a lot of credit, and I would say if you're the Edmonton Oilers, be careful because you've got Taves and you've got Kane and Duncan Keith and Corey Crawford, you know, players that have been there, done that, and they're not going to get rattled in any situation. So
you tell them,
we'll
Troy Murray. I like what you're saying. All right, well, we'll talk to you when you get out. Well, you know, before one of these games, you won't be out there, but wherever you're going to be, and as we get ready for this, it's very exciting that hockey's coming back, baseball's coming back, and we'll just have to see, hopefully, that these bubbled situations can actually keep these games, these teams moving forward. Troy Murray, the great Troy Murray, thank you very much, my friend. Appreciate you being with us. We've got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right now.